Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are dying. Our family are falling apart. We as a nation have a total failure.
Oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
Saturday morning to you, each and every one of you. This is If My People. I am Pastor Leona Ross, your host. Today we are going to be discussing remembering God's goal for us. What is the plan of God's life for us? And when we are in the midst of everyday things that we are doing, do we remember that? Or do we worry about everything that we have on our plate to do in the run of a day? Do we forget to stay focused on that which God has spoken about us? This is what we'll be talking about. But first and foremost, we will have a praise break with Shanash. I know who I am. It is just for your listening pleasure. I do not own the rights to any of this music.
Oh,
We fall down, but we get up, oh yes. For our saint is just a sinner who fell down, but we couldn't stay there and got up. Say now,
we fall down,
oh,
but we get up,
get back
we
up.
Fall down.
Hey, hey,
but
hey,
we
hey,
get up,
back up,
we fall down.
Oh my,
but
my,
we
my,
get
we get back up again.
For
a
Savior,
yes,
Savior.
Oh, yes, we go. But we can't stay there. There's a seed of righteousness inside of us. Oh,
we fall down.
Say now.
But
we get back up again.
We fall down
sometimes, but we get back up again. Yes, we do that. We rise back up again.
For the
Savior,
sinner.
Oh, 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 oh. Everybody say now,
we
This is your host, Pastor Leona Ross, with If My People. That was Donnie McClurkin, We Fall Down. And before him was Sinash, I Know Who I Am. Remember, I don't own any rights to this music. It is just for your listening pleasure. Again, today's topic, we are talking about staying focused today, remembering God's goal for us. You know, through the hustle and bustle of our day, sometimes we forget. We forget what our whole purpose is in Christ. We forget our earthly purpose in God. It's not just to come here and live any kind of way. The Bible says, be ye holy in 2 Peter, for I am holy. That means to live in the image in which we were created in. Genesis tells us that we were created in the image of God. So daily, we should be striving to obtain his characteristics, his attributes, not worrying from day to day, not being focused on what's going on with somebody else. But let me slow down and let me go at it this way. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Familiar passage of scripture. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to bring you to an expect. That means to bring you to the place God expects you to be, where he has predestinated for you to end up at, regardless of what comes along in the middle. That means from the time that he created you until the end of life. None of that stuff in the middle matters. The only thing he's focusing on is his expectations of you. All right? He knows that we are a sinful people. That's why he sent Christ. He sent Christ to save us. He sent Christ to redeem us back to him because he wanted us to be in a place where he could commune with us again. After creation fell when Adam ate of the tree, which he told him not to do, it caused a separation between God and man. And God longed to have that connection restored. So he sent his one and only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer and die for us, that we might get in a place where we can go to God. And Jeremiah 29 and 12, verse 12, illustrates that. It says, then ye shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all of your heart. See, it's a heart matter. See, what is your earnest prayers? What are your earnest thoughts? What are your earnest, passionate feelings about the Lord Jesus Christ, about Jehovah God? See, he said, when you search for me with all of, so it's not a half-hearted thing. It's something that remember, God knows the very intent of your heart. He's not looking on the outside man. Mm-mm. As it says in Samuel, mm-mm. He don't look on the outside man. He said, I'm not looking on the outside man as man does, but I look at the very intent of your heart. I know the very intent of your heart. See, so nothing is hidden from God. He's omnipotent and omnipresent. So there is nothing that you can do that God doesn't already know about. See, case in point, Jeremiah 29, verse 14 says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place when I cause you to be carried away captive. See, what is he talking about? Here he is talking directly to the children of Israel when he sent them into captivity under King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. However, we take this to mean today when he is talking to us, our sinful nature, when we so-called come into Christ being black, backslidden, or we don't know Christ as of yet. See, sin is captivity because our focus is not on God. It's on the things of this world. It's on fleshly pleasures, the lust of our flesh, wealth, riches. It's on everything else, the total cares of this world. It is not thinking about God. We don't go to God and ask him, well, Father, what is it that you would have me to do today? We don't ask the Father's advice. See? In Matthew chapter 5, when he told, when the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? Jesus said, pray this, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy is thy name, thy kingdom come. Do we say that in the morning, or do we just jump up out of bed onto the floor and be about our business for the day, whether it's going to work, getting the kids off to school, paying bills, going shopping, or whatever we have to do that day? Or do we stop and ask God and pray a prayer of protection over us as we go throughout the day? Do we ask him for his will to be done? This is all a part of staying focused on what our purpose is in God, what his will is for us. It starts the moment you open your eyes to the time you close your eyes throughout your day. And his word gives us illustration on how to stay focused. See? And as we said in verse 14, Jeremiah 29 and 14, he said, well, I have driven you, said the Lord. I will bring you again into a place which I have caused you to be carried away captive. He's going to bring you back to that expected end. Even though you may have been distracted and caught up for a time, God's plan for you is and will always be valid. Because God is faithful. He's not a man that he could lie. His word concerning you will not return unto him void. Isaiah 55 and 11. See? It's not going to return to him void. So even though you get distracted, even though you so-called get caught up in sin and every manner of evil that you could possibly imagine, that you just think, oh, God can't help me. Yes, he can. His word says that he will never leave nor forsake you. It's not God who leaves us. We are the ones who leave God. We turn our back on Christ. We turn our back on the word of God for our lives. We get distracted looking at other things. We get distracted by people, places, and things that don't even matter because they are only temporal. That's why he admonished us to keep our eyes and desire and to lust after the spiritual things, which are the things of God. Not this worldly wealth, not these worldly things that so easily distract us. How many of you have said, well, when I get off from work or when I get home or when I get some free time, I'm just going to pick up my Bible and I'm just going to study. And then you get home and the television is going or your laptop is going and you get distracted by that. You either get on social media or you start watching a TV program or you get a phone call and you totally forget that while you were driving home, or you forget that you said that I'm going to study God's word when I get home, or I'm going to make time to pray. But because these little distractions take your mind and take your thoughts away from the thought of God, and it's a very easy thing to do. Don't feel bad. Everybody does it. But you have to purpose in your mind, body, spirit. Purpose in your heart. That's what he says. He said, I know what's in your heart. Purpose in your heart that, hey, I'm going to study the will of God for my life. I'm going to study his word. I'm going to get his word in me so that I can walk in the path of righteousness, which he has purposed for my life. Then no man, woman, boy, or girl could ever take your attention from that. See? He can never take your attention from that. See? You will always be able. You will always be able to focus and stay focused on that which God has called you to do. See? It's in his word. Remember, he wants to bring you to an expected end. As I say, the stuff in the middle is the journey from the time that he created you, from the time that he created you until now, until you leave this earth. He knows what you're expected in. Stop allowing people to tell you what you can and can't be just because you made one mistake or two mistakes or whatever in your life. Yeah, you're going to fall down a few times, but when you get up, hey, you up. And you can continue on in the direction that God has called you to be in. All is not lost. Stop allowing people to pour that mess into your heart and mind and spirit. They're not God. They don't know. I don't care what title they have. They don't know what your end is going to be. Only you and God determines that when you decide to be obedient to his word and walk the path that he has purposed for your life. The in-between stuff gonna be hills and valleys and mountaintops and valley lows. You're not going to always be at the top of the mountain, and you're not going to always be down in the valley either. You're going to be content somewhere in between. But just know, as long as you can look up to God and realize that he is never going to forsake you, that he is always for you, and if God be for you, then who in the world can be against you? Keep an open line of communication with God. And how do you do that? You do that through prayer. Just a simple conversation with the Father. Can anybody tell you how to pray? No. Because you know what's in your heart. You know the things that are in your heart. Yes, praise God. Yes, praise him. Praise him always. But when your heart is heavy, sometimes the only thing that you can say is, God, please help me. When your back is against the wall, God, help me. And many times when our back is against the wall, many times we're like, God, if you get me out of this, I will serve you for the rest of my life. That's how I came into a true relationship with Christ, because there was nowhere that I could turn. And if God didn't help me, Lord knows I wouldn't have been helped. But he saw fit. He heard me in my time of trouble. See? In my captivity, he heard me. He said, I will hear you. I will bring you back from the place of captivity from whence I sent you. See? I will bring you back. See? He said, I will bring you back. So it doesn't matter where you are, how far you think you have fallen. That's right. I said you think you have fallen because you've not fallen so far as God cannot reach you. You have not fallen so far as God can still not save you and accomplish the purpose that he has for you. Stop listening to other people's mess. Just because it worked out that way for them, well, baby, let me tell you something. That was their choice. See, every decision that we make, every choice that we make to go to the right or to the left, there is a consequence. Okay? So whichever way that they went, that was the consequences that they paid. It doesn't mean that you're going to turn out the same way. Stop allowing people to speak that mess into your spirit and have you thinking that, oh, if you do this, oh, you're going to hell. Listen, ain't nobody on God's green earth got a heaven or hell to put you in. So don't let nobody tell you, oh, because you do this, you're going to hell. No, you're not. The Bible says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. In reverence to God. Yes, you mess up. Yes, you get caught up. And yes, it's going to be, you're going to have one, two, three more chances. It ain't always going to be your last fall. As long as your heart is right with God. Remember, you have a real adversary. Remember Christ, the 40 days in the wilderness? And Satan came and he tempted him. We only know about three of the temptations that was recorded in the Bible, but Satan had a whole 40 days. To mess with Jesus' mind. To make him think that what God called him to do, that he couldn't possibly do it. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, do you think he gave up then? No. He told him, he said, listen, let this, if it be your will, God, let this cup pass from me. Let it pass. I don't want to do this. I don't want to die for these people. I'm only 33 years old. I'm still young. I just started living. But at the end of the day, because in his heart, all he wanted to do was his Father's will. He said, nevertheless, let thy will be, nevertheless, regardless of what I think, regardless of what I feel, Lord, let thy will be done. See? Enemy fighting him all the way to the end, mocking him. And you think that just because you confess Christ that your journey is going to be easy? No. See? Because the enemy had you under his influence all of your life. Now all of a sudden you want to turn from him and stop drinking and smoking and going out to clubs and all this, these things that God is not pleased with in your life, regardless of what they were. I just named a few I used to do myself. See? Nobody is infallible. We all make mistakes. Remember that. So when you fall, don't look at yourself like it's such a bad thing. Yeah, you might be devastated at the moment. You know, you might think God is displeased with you, which is true, but that's the case of repentance. That's the case of forgiveness. And the one thing we got to learn how to do is forgive ourselves. We can ask God to forgive us. We can ask others to forgive us. But when it comes to us, oh, we so hard on ourselves sometimes when we trying to walk righteously. But remember, God died for all of our sins. Christ died for all of our sins. There is no sin to man, known to man, that Christ didn't die for, that we are not redeemed from. So if Christ has died from it, then forgive yourself. Forget about it. Keep walking. Keep moving. Keep down the path of righteousness as God leads you by his Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which come from the Lord who is the Spirit. See? Unveiled, nothing hidden. We're not hiding anything from God. See? We are being transformed daily into his image. We're going from glory to glory because it is done by his Spirit. It is no fleshly thing that we can do to accomplish the purposes of God for our life. It is totally done by his Spirit. We make up our minds to follow him. We make up our minds to choose right over wrong daily. See? Sometimes minute by minute. Because some days the temptation is stronger than others, and we really got to fight those temptations. We got to fight those tempting thoughts. We got to fight the tactics of the enemy when he uses other people to bring things to us that we know is not of God. Every day. But you got to stay focused on the goal. The end goal is to make it into the kingdom. That's the end goal. Accomplish God's purpose for your life. Yeah, it's going to be some bumps in the road, but let me ask you a question. When you're driving your car or you're riding your bike or what have you, you know, and you hit a bump in the road, Do you stop right there because you hit that bump in the road, or do you continue on to your destination? It's just a bump in the road. And what if you hit a pothole and it unaligns your car and you need to go get a front end alignment. You have to get your wheels aligned now because the pothole was kind of deep and you was going kind of fast. So you hit that bump and it was kind of hard, and it set some things a kilter. It set some things out of order. So now, you know, your steering wheel ain't so straight. Left is right and right is left. Do you leave it like that? Do you stop right there and just say, oh, woe is me. I can't drive no more. My line bit off. I can't get to where I'm going. My car broke. No. You take it to the mechanic. You get it back aligned. And you keep driving. You don't stop right there. You don't stop right there and accuse the pothole of destroying your destiny. You keep going. Yeah, it's a problem right now, but yeah, I can still drive. You make the adjustment in order to get to your destination. Then why, when things come up in our life that distract us from the purpose of God, can we not make the adjustment to continue on the path of righteousness? Why is it so easy for us to accept defeat sometimes? Like this being saved thing, man, it ain't all. It was easy. Did you think you weren't going to be persecuted? Christ says that just as they have persecuted me, they're going to persecute you as well. It's not going to be easy. It ain't going to just be, you know, a walk in the roses for you, no. Because even those roses have thorns. And you're going to get pricked or scratched sometime walking through there. But that shouldn't stop you from completing your journey. See? You got to stay focused on the goal, that which God has called you to do, that which was prophesied over your life. Remember, he told Timothy to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That means you got to contend means to fight. It don't mean throw in the towel because things got rough. It don't mean throw in the towel because you fornicated and you're not married. Like your whole salvation is lost. Repent and stay focused on what God has called you to do with a sincere heart. Continue to pray that God delivers you out of that situation so that you can be holy, that you can be righteous. What did he tell the woman that was caught in the midst of adultery? He said, woman, where art thou accuser? She said, I don't have any. He said, neither do I accuse you. So why, again, I ask, are we so hard on ourselves? We act like the world is coming to an end because we committed one sin. Yes, we feel bad. Yes, we feel condemned. But Romans 8 and 1 reminds us that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Don't let nobody condemn you and you don't condemn yourself. Get up, get back on the path of righteousness. Now, let me make this clear. I'm not talking about habitual or willful sin where you just keep going and you're not paying any attention to Christ. You're not even trying to live right. No. As he said, bitter and sweet water can't come from the same fountain. Now, either you're going to be fighting for righteousness or you're going to be happy living in sin. There's no two ways about it. Either you're sincerely sorry, you sincerely want your life to be holy, to be righteous, to honor Christ, or you don't. See, so we're not talking about that. We're talking about remembering the goal that God has placed you for, the purpose that he has placed you here for, and walking in that purpose, and not allowing somebody else to tell you differently, not getting focused on where somebody else is, because somebody else's Christ walk, it's not going to be like yours. They don't have the trials and tribulations that you might have had in your life. And you don't have the trials and tribulations that they might have had in their life because you never know. The Bible says we overcome by the words of our testimony. Okay, if we overcome by the words of our testimony, what is our testimony? We can't have a testimony if we ain't been through nothing, if we ain't been through them trials and tribulations. See, because that's when we can look back and say, oh, yeah, God brought me out of that. That wasn't nobody but Jesus. And you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it wasn't nobody but Jesus, because ain't no way you would have came out as clean as you did or as well as you did if God himself had not intervened. Remember, he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. So he knows the plans that he has for you. Remember, he knows, he knows, he knows. There's nothing hidden. See? So stop comparing yourself to person A or person B. Focus on what God has for you, because that's the only important thing. That's your goal. Becoming the man or woman of God, child of God, that God has called you to be. Not worrying about somebody else. Not looking at somebody else. Because their journey is not your journey. Their path is not your path. See? God has purposed you specifically for that which he has called you to do. And believe it or not, you're the only one who can do it. See? Romans 12 and 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, when you stay focused on him in your mind. Your mind, your thoughts are being transformed. You are becoming the person that God wants you to be. God is reprogramming your mind from the things of this world to that which he has called you to be. If you're thinking too lowly of yourself, he wants you to think a little bit higher, that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, according to the will of God for your life. And if you're thinking too highly of yourself, then yes, he wants you to humble yourself unto him. Don't get all great and mighty because some things start happening in your life. God is blessing you, and then you allow a spirit of pride to rest on you. Remember the goal. The goal is to become like him, to have his characteristics and his attributes, to accomplish his purpose for you. It's not to acquire the blessings of God, because he said he will bless you according to his riches and glory. So if you acquire a measure of wealth in this earth, don't forget where you come from and start looking down on folks. Because the Bible says, what you have done to the least of these, you have done unto me. See? God gives us wealth that we may bless others, not for us to hoard it all up for ourselves and say, oh, look what I got. Look what I got. Look what I got. Look what I got. Look what God has blessed me with. And you braggadocious over it, and you're not doing anything for anybody who has less than you. See? You're not doing anything for anybody. You're just hoarding it to yourself and bragging. And yes, rejoice, 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 rejoice. And when God blesses you, yes, rejoice. But by God, under no means become so prideful that you forget from whom the blessings come. We forget sometimes. We think that we've done it ourselves. No, no, I'm sorry. You haven't done it yourself. No, you haven't. It was God's blessing over your life. It was he who gave you favor. It was he who opened that opportunity for you. It was he that opened that door that you didn't even know was coming. It was he that touched that person's heart and caused them to give you that job or that interview or that money or that donation or what have you, whatever you was in need of. It was God's spirit. Yes, you had to put some work in, because faith without works is dead. But how many of you have said, oh, wow, I wasn't even expecting this. How many of you have gotten a position at your job, which you knew you wasn't even qualified for? You just interviewed for it. You know, you just applied for it hoping. But God opened the door for you, and you got it anyway. How many of you have found yourself in a situation where you knew if God didn't help you, you wasn't coming out, but God brought you out anyway? All you did was ask. All you did was pray. All you did was hope. All you did was have faith. And God gave you favor. Why? Begin again. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you. I know. To bring you to an expected end. It's no mystery. That's why he tells us in Deuteronomy, choose ye this day whom you gonna serve. You gonna serve God or man? Make your choice. The right choice would be to serve God so he can continue to bless you and give you favor, that you may accomplish his will for your life and everything else that comes with it. And again, I say, no, it is not always going to be a bed of roses. That's not what I'm saying. Yes, you're going to go through stuff, because how else are you going to establish a relationship in Christ and begin to trust him even the more with your innermost secrets, and know that regardless, no matter come what may, he is always going to be there when you need him. It might not look like he's going to come through, but at the end of the day, God always comes through for you. It's funny how we can be in worldly relationships and physical relationships, and we can put all our love and trust in that person. We go out of our way, we'll do anything for him. We'll even turn against God if so be it, that we can love somebody that much. But the simple things that the Father asked us to do, the one who gives us life, the one who blows breath into our bodies, who calls creation to be, who blesses us beyond measure, we can turn our backs on. We can cuss him out. Yeah. Saints of God, yeah, we done it. Cuss God out because we lost a loved one or something. The opportunity didn't turn out the way that we thought it was going to be turned out, and we got a word for the Lord that was our job, or that was our wife, or that was our husband, and it just turned out raggedy. And we'll say God lied, but are you sure that's what the Father said? Or is that what man told you, or is that what you told yourself? Some things God ain't ever meant for us. We choose those things. And what we do is we go and we attach God's name to it. We'll say, oh, I know this is what God had for me. But did you ask? Was it part of the expected end that the Father wanted to bring you to? Did you check with him? See? Did you consecrate yourself and go in prayer to make sure that this is what God purposed for your life, or because you had those passionate feelings, those lustful feelings, of that grand idea that this was for you? You just went all out for it. You just went and jumped on it. The Bible says, I will give you the desires of your heart. He didn't say, I will give you it doesn't say, I will give you the desires of your heart according to my will. No, the desires of your heart is what you want. That's what you want. But did you ask the Father? Did you ask the Father? So then, when it doesn't turn out right, and now you're all mad, and now you want to blame God. No, sorry, sweetie. Just look in the mirror. Time is you. But again, I say, that shouldn't stop you from getting to where the Father needs you to be. where he has purposed you to be. So you're hurt, so you're broken, so you think you messed up. No. God forgives. But can you trust God enough to be that faithful in your life? And know that he's faithful. Without getting all bent and broke out of shape, thinking that everything is God's fault. No. I know when we're young in Christ, we're young, you know, and we don't really know anything about the workings of the Lord or the purpose of God for our life. It's easy to blame God because we feel that hurt, that emotional hurt. That emotional loss. And we in this dark place. And the only person that we can blame, because we don't understand that Satan has a hand in things too in our life when sometimes they go awry, because everything is not the will of God. And see, because he wants to deceive you, because that's his purpose, that he, you know, may steal, kill, and destroy everything that is unlike God, everything that is like God, rather. Because he don't want you walking in purpose. He don't want you to make it into the kingdom. He don't want you serving God, because God kicked him out. He hate God. What the nerve of you. You're going to kick me out. I was the son of the morning. That was the first thing you saw in the morning, the last thing you saw in the evening. I did this, I did that. And you're going to kick me out. How you going to kick me out? I'm the most important thing. See, pride. I'm the most important thing in heaven. So if he see you trying to walk in the image of God and live for Christ and live holy, of course. You walking in his image. So when he see you, he see God. He's reminded of where he was at. So he going to try to destroy you and everything around you. And if he can't get directly to you because God has a hedge of protection around you, he's going to get to you through your children, through your family, through your friends, through your coworkers, through some calamity that he's going to cause in your life that's going to cause you to doubt God, to doubt what God has said concerning you. To make you not believe that God will never leave nor forsake you. Because the first thing that we say when calamity comes to our lives, you know, sometimes it's like, God, why? Why did you do this? Why did you do this to me? But did God do it? And then others might reason. Well, don't nothing happen in my life unless God allow it, really? Or did you allow it? Were you in the wrong place? God could have stopped this. Well, maybe so. Maybe, well, he could have. But were you in a place in God to allow him to stop it? Did you pray about it? Did you seek God about it? Or was that a door that was left open for the enemy that you did not, that you failed to close? See? Talking about trials and tribulations and remembering what the goal is. See, these are all valley experiences. But even in the valley, we should not so-called, as Job's wife told him, curse God and die because things are so hard and it seems so unbearable. He called her a foolish woman. Yeah, she was foolish. He said, should we just take the good from God and not the bad too? But see, she just saw her husband suffering day after day. The friends were coming and accusing him day. Oh, you must have did something. Job, you must see, Job, I know you're supposed to be a righteous man. God has blessed you. You had all this stuff, but you must have did something against God to cause God to do this to you. But God was just taking him through a test. He allowed the enemy to test him, to test Job's faith in him, to bring him to a higher level and a higher knowledge and a closer relationship in God, with God. See? And sometimes when you're going through something and it's just a test, your friends, family, people are going to come around. Oh, yeah. I knew she wasn't that say. I knew she was going to fall. I told you. Yeah, no, shut up. Hush your mouth. You have no idea what you're talking about. You sound like a fool. You don't know what God's will is for my life. You don't know. You have no idea. So how can you possibly say, I told you, you know nothing about me. See, you have to close off those conversations. Don't even let them penetrate your spirit to cause you to doubt the will of God for your life. Remember the goal. Remember your purpose. Remember. See? What he called you to be. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace. No calamity in your life. I'm not the one that brings chaos, confusion. I am not a God of confusion. See, so when you see those things happening, you're like, this ain't Jesus. This ain't my God. No, we're not having this. We walking away from this, and we're going to find that peaceful place, the peace that passes all understanding. That's what we're going to get back to. We're not doing this. See? Forgetting that. Focusing on what God's promises are for your life. Not looking at anything else. See? And it's so easy to do because we have so many, well, for lack of a better word, ignorant people around us. They're ignorant about the ways of God. They're ignorant about the things of God. And they have no idea where God is taking you. None whatsoever. All they see is a situation or a circumstance, and then they try to put their mouth on things they know nothing about. That's why we have to stay focused, because they don't know where God is taking you. They don't know what God's purpose is for you. They don't even know how he plans to get you there. They don't know the reason you're going through stuff. Instead of going in consecration and prayer for you and say, Lord, please help my sister bring her out. Lord, please help my brother bring him out. I don't understand, Lord, but please bless them. Please help them. Please deliver them. See, going to the Father. Even the Bible says, if you see your brother or your sister caught in a fault, you go to God. You don't go and accuse them. You go to God. You pray for them even the more. See, but if you see them in a fault and they're not trying to turn away, you say, you confront them about it in brotherly, sisterly love, not accusing, not condemning. That's the part we forget. Sometimes we can talk so negatively and so bad about each other. It is not uplifting. It is not edifying. We bring accusations and we only make the situation worse. We only make the person feel worse than they already felt. Sometimes it's just good to keep your doggone mouth shut. Don't say nothing. If you can't pray or you can't say nothing to encourage, close your mouth. You think downgrading somebody is going to bring them to repentance? You don't know what that person is dealing with already. They could be in the fight of their lives, and they're doing the best that they can possibly do, trying to stay focused on God's word, trying to be saved, trying to live right. And here you come with your self-righteous self, want to condemn somebody because you saw, you think, ain't asked God nothing. And I knew she wasn't saved. I knew he wasn't saved. No, you ain't know nothing. You're not God. You didn't create that person. No, you didn't know nothing. Know yourself. Get in a place to know God first before you try to come and condemn somebody else. And then you will see, if you really had a relationship with Christ, then you wouldn't come at your brothers and sisters so stupidly, erroneously. You would come with a word of encouragement to uplift and not condemn. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying condone no sin. I'm not saying condone anybody's sin. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, don't come making a bad situation worse. If you can't talk to them in love and kindness, as Christ's words say, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. So how are you drawing people, condemning them? How are you drawing people always keeping their sins in front of their face? No, you're not drawing anybody. What you're doing is pushing them away, causing them to not want any part of Christ or the church. If this is what it's like, remember the goal. Remember what God's goal is for us. He says, go ye into all the nations and preach this gospel. Don't preach condemnation. Don't preach a hell message. Preach this gospel. Tell them about me. Tell them about Christ. Tell them about the wonderful things that I have done. Tell them about the wonderful things that I have done in your life. If you should be talking about anybody's testimony, you should be talking about your own, the things that God brought you out of, so they can see that God is yet still alive. He's still real, and he's still concerned about his people. Because if he brought me out, he can bring you out. Because many times, as I said, we are the worst critics of ourselves. We can look back over our life and say, God, you know, I did this. I just thought I was the worst person, da-da-da-da-da-da. And yet and still, God, you kept your hands on me. You kept me from dying. I'm still here. People who I was out there with doing the same thing. I was doing the same thing they were doing. We were all doing the same thing. They're not here anymore, but God, I am. I thank you, Lord. You have kept me through grace and mercy, your hand of protection. You kept it on me. Remember the goal, God's purpose for you, to bring you to an expected end, to make it to the kingdom, that which he has called you to do. He don't want you to keep everything that he brought you through, that he brought you out of. He don't want to keep it to yourself. You got to tell somebody about it. It's somebody out there who's going through or in the same situation that you were in. They want to know how you came out. How did you get out of that abusive relationship? How did you get out of that abusive marriage? How did you get out of that ungodly union? How did you overcome that? See, sometimes we get so high and mighty in God when we so-called get on the Lord's side, and we can't tell others of the things that God has brought us through. How are we going to be ashamed of the work that God has done in us if he's calling us to be a light on a hill? And no, and contrary to popular belief and popular opinions, I have heard people say it, God don't want you to glorify sin. No, we are not glorifying sin. We are just telling what God has brought us through, that we are not perfect. We are infallible. But these are the things that we were once. That's what Paul said. This is what you once were. You are not anymore. So how is that glorifying sin? Come on now. Sometimes you act too high and mighty and too self-righteous. And this is why you can't touch the lost. This is why you can't touch people. You put your own self up on a pedestal. You forget about what the goal is, to go ye throughout all the land and preach this gospel and make disciples, bring people into Christ. You forget. Now come, you got to come down As my grandma used to say, you got to calm down now. You got to calm down off that high horse. Yeah, you accomplished a little bit, but baby, you ain't there yet. You ain't there yet. You just on the second or third step. You ain't there yet. You ain't made it in yet. Because you can fall off that high horse. See? Like Paul, God can knock you off that horse. It's your choice. See? So remember what God's goal is for our lives. Come so much of ourselves that we forget about him. He should be the head. He should be the center. He should be our main focus. That's what we should be focusing on. Not the cares of this world, not family, not friends, but on Christ. But on Jehovah God and his purpose and will for our lives. And we have, and when we obtain a measure of success, not forgetting about where we come from, reaching back and helping those who have less than us, blessing them, providing for their needs as God provides for us in his abundance, that our cup runneth over. Our cup runs over so that we can help somebody else and not begrudge it. Do it with a joyful heart. Yes, we sow into our ministries. Yes, yes, yes. Pay your tithes, pay your offerings. But don't just walk by the homeless man on the street like he ain't there or like you don't see him. He needs to know about Christ. He or she needs to know about the goodness of God in you. How would they see it if they don't see it in you? Feeding the homeless. Providing for them, doing whatever you can just to make their life just a little bit better because God has given you the means to do so. Speaking a word of that will edify them, to let them know that God still loves them and he's still concerned about them. You never know. Praying for them. Praying for their soul. Praying for God to intervene in their situation. No, you might not have the money to put them in a house, but maybe you have enough to get them a hotel room so they can have a warm place to sleep for the night and get a shower. No, you may not have enough food that's going to provide for them for the week or the month, but they'll be grateful for that one meal. If you do it out of a sincere heart, not to be seen, not to post it all over social media, not to run around to your girl, you know, child, I helped you. No. Nobody don't need to know about it. God sees your good works. He said that which you do in secret, he will reward you what? He will reward you openly. He will reward you. You don't need to exalt yourself. God will exalt you in due season. You got to have that heart of gratitude, of graciousness, and of humility. Got to have that. Don't do stuff to be seen. See? Let's not be those people. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above and not on earthly things, not on these things in the world. Remember, you got to remember the goal. He knows. He knows the thoughts that he thinks to us, for us. So why would we set our mind on the lowly things that are here when God has greater things for us? Hebrews 12:1-2, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand at the throne of God. After all of that, see? After all of that, everything Christ went through, he knew what his end goal was. That he would, after all the persecution, the crucifixion, everything that he went through, that he was going to sit down at the right hand of God. See? He was talking, it tells us we surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. See? So anything that hinders us or tries to take our focus or tries to distract us from what the goal is, from our purpose in God, all the sin that easily so intake, we throw all that, we throw it off. And we persevere. We keep going, in other words. Remember I told you about if you're driving down the road and in your car and you hit a pothole or whatever, you don't stop to see what you hit. You keep on going because you know you got to get to work. You know you got to make it to your place of destination. Same thing as our walk with Christ. See? You driving your car, you stay focused on the road. You're looking at the lights. You're looking at the other cars. You stay in focus because you want to get there safely. And we fix our eyes on Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We're going to make it there. Regardless of the pitfalls, regardless of the mistakes, regardless of the persecution, if we keep our eyes focused on Christ and his will and his purpose for us, we are going to make it. We're going to be able to accomplish all the things that he has outlined for us to accomplish here in the earth. And we'll eventually, at the end of our days, make it into his holy kingdom, where he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You didn't give up. When you messed up, you got up. You didn't let that one mistake distract you from the goal, from the purpose, that which I called you to be. From an usher to a pastor, from the back door to the pulpit, wherever you are. See? Wherever your place is in God. If you're out on the street, a street minister walking, ministering to the people of God out on the street, wherever you are, wherever God called you to be, you don't need a title. Are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you walking in faith and power and holiness and righteousness, accomplishing that which God has called you to do, regardless of situation, circumstances, persecution, pitfalls, and not getting caught up in the cares of this world? This has been Pastor Leona Ross with If My People. I hope and pray that this message has edified your mind, body, and spirit, and it just gives you a little encouragement that no matter what happens in life, God's will for your life, it is eternal. His purpose for you, it is eternal. It is not something that God is going to take back from you. His expected end for your life can't be obtained. Don't give up. Don't, even though you falter, don't give up. If you fall, get up. Shake it off. Repent. Move on in Christ and his will for your life. We'll be back next week with our anthology of gospel music. Hopefully we're going to be able to broadcast that, and we're just going to walk you through the years of gospel music and the different genres of gospel music to see how it has touched people's life and changed over the years, and if it is indeed still edifying the body of Christ. Look forward to seeing you there. We're going out of here with Jonathan Nelson. Expect great things from God. But even more, expect God to do great things in you. Until next time, blessings on each and every one of you. Love you in Christ Jesus.
Y'all ready to celebrate? Come on, get back up on your feet. Come on. Put your hands on it. Come on. Refreshing. His plan now unfolding. The time of your great blessing. Thank you, Darius Dennis. Come on. Nothing but victory. That's the promise of our King. To do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you ask or think.
Promise of our King.